pray to open our hearts today to the message, and just pray that you would speak to each of us and convict us of our sin, Lord. Help us repent in sin. Just pray that you would just lift us up and encourage us, and be with those who are sick, and comfort them, Lord, and those who couldn't make it, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Okay, Romans chapter 5. If you didn't get a bulletin, there are more out on the table there now. Okay. Romans chapter 5 and verse 10. The Bible says, "For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Back to verse 10, it says, "For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the Son." Now, just think about that. That's before we're saved. That's what we are, is we are an enemy of God. Not that he wants to be our enemy, but we ourselves, because of our sin, are. If you hold your place here and turn me to John chapter 3. In John chapter 3, God doesn't want to condemn anyone. In John 3, in verse 17, it says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to what? Condemn the world, but that the world through him might be what? See, so back in Romans 5:10, if when we were enemies, we are reconciled to God by the death of his Son. How many of you can see that this world is an enemy of God? Wow. I mean, things are getting more and more wicked and vile. It just seems like some people are just, as we talked about recently, pure evil. We talked about recently, you know, Satan is on a level of hatred that I don't think any person understands. Like we saw in Luke 16, the rich man in hell, when he got there and realized he was doomed there forever and ever, he pled that Lazarus could be sent back to witness to his five brothers. But just imagine, Satan knows that he is doomed to hell, the lake of fire one day, and yet, after being bound 1,000 years, when he's loosed, he's going to go out to do what? Deceive the nations. I mean, he is pure hatred. There's no love in him at all. And you can just see the people he controls. Just, it's like they're trying to destroy this nation, and it's almost like they get joy out of it. Just doing things that are just bringing this country down, down, down. And they seem to have no comprehension whatsoever that they're destroying this country, and that they're fighting against God himself. You notice in 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy 2. So, but you know, Judas himself, God said, Jesus said of Judas, it'd be better for that man if he had never been born. And yet, when Judas came with all those Jewish leaders to arrest Jesus, what did Jesus call him? Friend. Friend. He called Judas friend. And so, God doesn't want us to hate these people that are destroying our nation. He wants us to pray for them. But in 2 Timothy 2, verse 25... Well, let's back up to 24. 2 Timothy 2:24. "And the servant of the Lord must not what? Strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that what? Oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may what? Recover themselves out of the snare of who? The devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." So all these wicked, vile politicians that are, they're just so bent on doing everything against God's word. They don't even know really what they're doing. I mean, well, notice in Second Thessalonians chapter 2, I mean, in a sense, they know what they're doing, but and yet they really, they don't know who they're working for. That's just it. You know, if you work in a small shop, you know who the boss is. But if you worked in a corporation that was international in scope and had factories maybe in many in this country and maybe overseas, if the CEO, unless he was in the news a lot, if the CEO walked into your factory, you probably wouldn't even know that's the boss. There was a guy I was talking to this last week, and he rents out things, and he was telling me, he says, I saw one of our machines going down the road. And so he stopped and said to the guys, he says, what are you doing with this? And their response to him was, what business is it of yours? What we're doing with this and where we're taking it. And he said, because I own this machine. Oh, that's a little different. You know, but these wicked, vile people in our country and around this world, you know what? They have no clue who their boss is. A lot of them think they're their own boss. That's what they really think, but they're not. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and it talks about the Antichrist coming on the scene in, let's start in verse 3. Let's start in verse 3, 2 Thessalonians 2, 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a what?
Falling
away first. Can't we see it? Wow, what a falling away we're seeing. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I had told you these things. And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of who? Satan. That's his boss, Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send him strong delusion, that they should believe what? A lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had what? Pleasure and unrighteousness. So I say that they don't realize who their boss is, and yet verse 12, the truth of the matter is they're finding pleasure in such short-lived things, and it's such folly. Notice in Hebrews chapter 11, you know, Moses was in a situation where he had the money and the power and the prestige to do what he wanted to. But you know what? He saw the emptiness of it all. In Hebrews 11:23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was what? Come to years. Refused to be called the son of who? Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to what? Suffer affliction. You know, in this day and age, it seems like we're trying to use, you know, parties and gimmicks and enticements, trying to win people over to Christ. But those are not the type that are won by that type of a thing that continues steadfastly. You know, a huge difference in the early days of the church was they knew when they trusted Christ, it was going to mean persecution. But those people, when they made a decision, the Bible says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. You didn't have to beg those people to come to church. You didn't have to beg those people to be baptized. Now, we'll look in a verse in just a moment, but in verse 25, Moses was come to years. He's come to age. He was a Jew, and yet he was living the life of an Egyptian prince. Had money was no issue. Prestige was no issue. But he chose, verse 25, he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy what? The pleasures of sin for how long? Season. You see, he came to years as an adult, and he realized that the partying of this world is empty. He came to the point where he realized, oh yeah, the world parties tonight, but tomorrow morning, the hangover. Tomorrow morning, the regret from whatever they did the night before. He came to that point, and you know what? He decided, you know what? I would rather suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy these pleasures of sin for a season. Verse 26, it emphasizes it. Esteeming what? The reproach of Christ. Greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. What a statement. Esteeming the reproach of Christ. Greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Wow. He had all of that at his disposal. You know, you think about Christianity as a term, not necessarily in truth, but as a term, Christianity. It's atrocious, isn't it? The way Christianity is depicted. It's like, Christianity per se says, don't tell me how to dress. Don't tell me how to wear my hair. The Bible addresses both issues. But I think of the military. Have you ever seen a military poster trying to recruit new recruits saying, join the service. We've let down the uniform. And can you imagine some soldier dressed in a, there's nothing wrong with it, but a tie-dye t-shirt. I mean, I'm not trying to pick on tie-dye clothing, but just, I mean, something really radical from a uniform, a green, brown, blue uniform, whatever. Can you imagine a soldier, a recruitment poster showing a soldier with a tie-dye shirt, and he's, instead of army boots, he's got, Nike or Adidas or whatever your brand is, tennis shoes on, and they're not tied, and his tie-dye t-shirt is hanging out, it's not tucked in, and he's got on a baseball cap backwards or sideways or something. Can you imagine a recruitment poster or billboard showing that? Have you ever seen a billboard recruitment for Marines? If you have, tell me what it's like. You ever seen one? It's someone standing straight and tall, not slouching. Someone with a hat on, military hat on, pulled down. Someone with a gun, everything spotless in his uniform, standing at attention. I mean, that guy is serious about everything, about his life. And yet, we're told to be good soldiers, but we're trying to recruit people to the most worthy cause in the world for all of eternity. And we're trying to encourage them through chaos, sloppiness, no order in life, no one tells me what to do. I mean, we're trying to recruit someone to a cause. Well, it's like the Isaiah 57. Let's go there to Isaiah 57, 15 that we had up there. You know what? When Moses came to years, he was not interested in the me first. You know, we're in the selfie generation. You know, we're taking it as the selfie pictures and the selfie attitude. And Isaiah 57:15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is what? Holy. That's his name. Holy. I dwell in a high and what? Holy place with him also. Okay, so God is dwelling also in a high and holy place with him also that is of what?
Contrite.
Contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. When a soldier is given an order, what does the soldier say?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I suppose today it's sometimes, yes, ma'am. I can't imagine having a female drill sergeant, but that's today's military, I guess. But I mean, there's no back talking to a military leader. It's yes, sir. Yes, sir. And, you know, oh, that we had a heart like that for God. Amen? Oh, that we had a heart that when God said something, it's yes, sir. Yes, God. Yes, my Lord. The Lord gripped my heart toward the end of my teenage years, and I was longing the song, a flag to follow, a cause for which to stand. You know, I was born just before the rebellious 60s. The 60s was a horrible time for teenagers, it seems like, in this world. You had the Beatles from England come on the scene, and it was just, it was like the days of Judges. Every man doing that which is right in his own eyes. That's what the 60s were. Just, you had the hippies, the freaks, hippie freaks. It was time of total rebellion, it seems like, against authority, against God. And so I started my first year of Bible college, and I found myself immersed in teachers that were not of the Moses variety. It was the teachers that wanted to contradict the Word of God and wanted to pull everything down. And I was searching for someone to say, thus saith the Lord. I was searching for someone to hold the flag, the Christian flag, and show me a cause for which to follow. And I soon found that although that school was started with that premise, it was started in the basement of the Wealthy Street Baptist Church with David Otis Fuller was the pastor, and he was more of the military for Christ. I mean, he knew who he was serving, and that's how it started. But it, you know, what Satan loves to do is infiltrate. You know, Satan knows he couldn't come up here and. Have any of you ever seen anyone tear a phone book like the Grand Rapids size in two? I can't remember how thick it was, but there was a weightlifter down in Chattanooga, Tennessee. He was a Christian, but an evangelist, but he tore something in two. I forgot. Do you remember Brother Jim? I mean, just, that's a lot of paper to tear in two at one time. You know, we just need someone to uphold the Word of God, not try to tear it in two, not try to pull it down. But, and so I was looking for a cause for which to stand, looking for thus saith the Lord. And we need that. We need that today. I'm not talking about needing dictators. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you need a pastor to rise up and say, you know, you follow me or out the door. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about Sunday school teachers and pastors and all of us as Christian brothers just holding up the Word of God to each other and with confidence saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Notice in Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. And in verse 16. Proverbs 6:16. These six things doth the Lord what? Hate. I mean, we shouldn't be hateful. But you know what? We should be able to bring up the Word of God and talk about some things that God hates. We're going to see in the next service that, you know, sodomy is an abomination to God. And there are a lot of other things that are an abomination to Him, too. But we're living in a day and age when people, you know, it's like, don't say those things. You'll offend people. Well, these six things doth the Lord hate. Seven are an abomination unto Him. What's the first one? Proud look. You know the song, you know, talking about the flag, what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming. I wish they'd change that word to humbly. Humbly. Because, you know, when Francis Scott Key, I think he was the one on the boat, wasn't he, out in the harbor? And so he was wondering if in the morning the British were bombarding our fort, and he was wondering if the flag would still be waving, our flag would still be waving in the morning. And praise God it was when daylight came, but that the song, what so proudly we hailed, it should be what so humbly we hail, because it's only by God's grace. You know, there have been so many times in the life of our nation, which is short compared to many nations, but like China and some nations, you know, have been around for thousands of years. But you know, it was only by God's grace. It was only by God's grace that the nuclear physicists or scientists that came from Germany here, it's only the grace of God that they didn't bring the atomic bomb to Germany first. I mean, they had the jets first. If they would have had the atomic bomb first, we would have been obliterated. So the grace of God, but God hates a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. Well, there's abortion. God hates that. And heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies. Well, thereabout seems to sum up Washington, D.C. right now. A false witness that speaketh lies. And he that soweth discord among brethren. God hates those things. I trust this morning that we're all of one heart in this matter in unity. There is nothing sure in this world right now. You notice how they're trying to control all the news media. It's not just the big old liberal TV news stations now. It's the whole internet they're trying to control, whether it's Facebook or Twitter or whatever else is out there. I don't know whatever else is out there, but they're trying to control it. They're trying to control the narrative. So if you say anything about something they don't want, I mean, the doctors experienced that during COVID. It's like doctors were trying to say, I've used this medicine successfully, and they were shutting them off. You can't say that. We don't want you to say that. And so you can just see, can't you, how it's building up to the Antichrist, total control of news, of everything. So let's go back to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. So, and verse 10. So, if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, we shall be saved by his life. Verse 11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Atonement, what does it mean, atonement? It means reconciliation, reconciled to God. What does it take to be reconciled to God? Well, there's a whole bunch of people that just think you have to do good works. You know, if your good works outweigh your bad works, then you'll be reconciled to God. Well, that's not the correct answer. Notice in Titus chapter 3, it's not the answer that's going to hold up. Titus 3 in verse 4. Actually, let's go to verse 3. Titus 3:3. For we ourselves also were sometimes what? Foolish. And then what? Disobedient. And then what? Deceived. So foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lust and pleasures. That's what Moses did. Living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to what? His mercy. He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. That being justified by what? His grace. We should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And then he says, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain what? Good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. So we're not saved by our good works, but you know what? When God calls us to salvation, when God calls us to serve him, we should gladly say, yes, sir. Yes, Lord. So what does it take to be reconciled to God? Notice in Leviticus 17, we'll have to close here in a moment. Leviticus 17 and verse 11. So Adam and Eve made themselves clothes of what? Fig leaves. But God made them coats of what? Skins, animal skins. Blood had to be shed. Leviticus 17:11, for the life of the flesh is in what? The blood. Some people talk about discovering the fountain of youth. What is the secret of life? Well, God tells us it's in the blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement. There's that word. Atonement for what? Your souls. For it is what? The blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. That's the only thing that can reconcile us to God, is the blood. And next week, Lord willing, well, actually, Brother Jeremy's going to be here next week, but next week, the week after, Lord willing, we'll see. I mean, we talked a lot about the blood, but we'll pick up with this matter of being reconciled to God. So we have a task. We have to remember we're soldiers, because soldiers are often not given easy tasks. They're given hard tasks. When you go onto the battleground, you never know exactly what you're going to face. And so as Christians, we never know exactly what we're going to face, but we know that there's a war going on. We can see it. The war for righteousness against evil is fiercely tearing at our fabric of our nation. We are in a huge mess. We just need to pray for revival, a great awakening. We need political leaders that are saved. We need political leaders that fear God above man. We need political leaders that, like God told the kings in the Old Testament, to write themselves a copy of the Word of God and read it daily. That's what we need. We need some political leaders that are guided by spiritual principles, not by polls taken of people. So it's a task we cannot do, us, but God can. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Brother Jim, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Father, we realize our country
service. Just have your will and way in Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Next service starts about 7-8 minutes, Lord willing.